You may be seated. Well, good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners. Wow, it is good. It's good to be home in really more ways than one. And what a delight it is to be together today in this space and place of grace. I've been looking forward to coming to be with you, not under these circumstances, but looking forward to coming and being with you. But I've been thinking about a concept that has been in my mind for about 3 weeks now. I was on a Zoom call a couple of weeks ago, and I was in Zoom lag. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's where you're watching, but you're not watching. And you're thinking about a thousand other things. And you're thinking about those things, and you forget what you're even there for. And then you find out that people are watching you, and it gets kind of embarrassing. But right in the middle of the Zoom call, boom, I heard something. And when I heard it, it struck me as a way of thinking about what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. Because in these moments of transition, I want to call you to be a team of first noticers, a team of first noticers. And I want to make sure that we're all on the same page as we begin this morning. God is calling his people in these days to be first noticers. He's not calling us to be first pointer outers. There's plenty of people doing that. But to be a first noticer. And so if you can let me have my slides there, that'll help me as we move along here. This team of first noticers is a concept that was just said very quickly in the Zoom call. I wasn't even paying attention, but as soon as I heard it, it had my attention. And so I want to introduce you to four people this morning that are first noticers. Some of these people you may know, and some of them you may never have met before. The first noticer that I want to share with you is a man by the name of Alan Hirsch. Alan Hirsch is a Australian missiologist, and he is a person that writes on what it means to be on the journey in the Christian faith. There is another person that you would know, and his name is Wendell Pierce. If you are a follower of The Wire on television, this is Detective Bunk. Some of you are looking at me as if you have no clue, and others of you are going, I cannot believe a man that age knows something about Detective Bunk. But there is something that was said in the middle of one of the episodes of The Wire that has always made me think since I first read it, and it's simply this: you know what you need at a crime scene? Soft eyes. If you've got soft eyes, you can see the whole thing. If you've got hard eyes, you're staring at the same tree, missing the forest. Teams of first noticers have to have soft eyes, seeing something they've always seen, but seeing it in a brand new way. To add to these two gentlemen, there was a lady, and her name is Karen May. And Karen May is a vice president of people. I love that title. Vice president of people for Google. And she was interviewing a person who you may know, Anderson Cooper, who is on CNN. And she was talking with him about some of the things that he has seen in his life over his lifetime. And it was at a summit that he was being interviewed in New York City, and he was being interviewed by Karen May, and he was asked about maybe the most profound thing that he has experienced in his career as a journalist. And he made a statement that when I read it, it really resonated with me. He says, seeing with soft eyes is not allowing your eyes to be hardened by what they see and viewing everything as non-judgmentally as possible. To be a team of first noticers is to be in a place where you see everything in a non-judgmental way. Can you imagine what our culture would be like if that took place? I don't know if it's the news has reached here, but in the area where I live, we've been through a presidential election. I don't know if the news has reached here or not. Seems like maybe it has. Where I come from, there is deep divide. And if there was a time in the life of a church where we would possess soft eyes and be teams of first noticers, maybe this is today. And I've been thinking a lot about that. And I've been thinking about the scripture that maybe is something that would help us as we think about becoming first noticers. And in a moment, I'm going to be in Psalm 78, and you'll follow me there in a moment. But as we think about this scripture, the eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, if your eye is healthy, your body will be, whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how terrible that darkness will be. And to be a team of first noticers and to have soft eyes is to allow your insight and your sight to be informed by the one who gives sight. And so the eye is the lamp of the body. And as I think about that passage of Scripture, I'm also reminded that faith comes by hearing. It's not just seeing, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in a few moments, we're going to be in the Word of God together. But before we get there, maybe you have heard of this before, but it was new to me when I read it. But there, for those of you that are in public education, you already know what I'm about to say, and you will identify with this. But there is a cell phone ringtone that is being used by junior high and senior high school students to keep teachers from discovering what they are using their cell phones for in school. And it is called the mosquito tone. By show of hands, how many know what I'm talking about? Mosquito tone. It really began, and it's difficult, by the way, it's difficult for anybody over age 25 to hear this tone. So you can imagine the field day that students are having, being able to use this. And some of you are here and you're students and you're saying, sign me up, I need to get that. And that's not what this is about. But it was developed in Great Britain, and it was to irritate teenagers who were loitering around convenience stores. So you had teenagers just kind of loitering and gathering around, and the owners of the stores didn't know what to do to disperse them, and they discovered this mosquito tone, and they would play it, and people that are mostly your age and mine would come into the store and never hear it. But it literally drove kids crazy, and they didn't even gather at the store anymore. And people said, how did that happen? Well, it was the mosquito tone. And some students figured out how to use that tone to their advantage. And today in public schools, it's difficult for principals and administrators to say, don't do that if they can't hear that. And so I thought maybe this morning, before we actually get into the Word, because we're asking for soft eyes and we're asking God to give us ears to hear what He wants to say to us in this transition. And so I was thinking about this mosquito tone. And so I want you to bear with me just for a moment, and we're just going to do a little experiment here because I'm curious. So are you ready? You look like you are. Just nod your head if you're ready. Okay, here we go.
As we grow older, we often lose the extreme ends of our hearing spectrum. So how many of the following sounds can you hear? How old are your ears? Okay, if you can hear 8,000 hertz, you're both alive and not hearing impaired. But let's keep raising the frequency.
Some of you are saying, turn the sound up, please.
How high could you hear? If you could hear all of those frequencies, you're probably under 20 years old, but that won't last forever.
Now, some of you are saying, I don't believe that's real. If I can't hear it, it must not be real. But here's what I want to do just for a moment, because faith comes by hearing, and we have soft eyes to see. And it's easy to build a case around the idea that the younger we are, the more receptive we are to hearing the Word of God. But that does not free us from the responsibility to listen carefully. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like for everybody to stand up. Would you stand up very quickly with me? Now, you're going to have to be very quiet. Now, my wife and I, our hearing is okay. Some of our hearing is more okay than the other. Let me just interpret that for you. I can hear a lot better than she can. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to play that same clip again. Albert, thank you for helping me. I'm going to play it in just a moment. But I want you to sit down when you can't hear. Some of you right now are going to say, I'm just going to sit down right now because I came to church to hear a sermon, and you want me to hear something I can't hear. That makes no sense. So here we go. Now, I've got my money on who I think is going to be standing, but we'll see. Are we ready? Here we go.
As we grow older, we often lose the extreme ends of our hearing spectrum. So, how many of the following sounds can you hear? How old are your ears? Okay, if you can hear 8,000 hertz, you're both alive and not hearing impaired. But let's keep raising the frequency. How high could you hear? If you could hear all of those frequencies, you're probably under 20 years old, but that won't last forever.
Now, some of you are saying, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But that's not true, because you couldn't hear it. How important it is for us to share the good news of the gospel to younger and younger generations who are more receptive to hearing what God has to say. As I think about the passage of Scripture I want to call our attention to this morning, it is in Psalm 78, and it begins in Psalm 78 with these words right at the very beginning. It is the lectionary passage for today. It is Psalm 78, and it begins with these words, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands." It is this passage of Scripture that has my attention this morning as I listen and lean into what he wants to say to us in these moments. In these moments of transition as a church, as you transition from what has been to what will be, as you live in the already but not yet, as you live in that thin space that Celtic Christianity talked about between heaven and earth, that thin space in which heaven comes so close to earth that it's called liminal space. You've talked about this before, but it is the already and not yet. It is that liminal space that we find ourselves in, and many of us that are here today would say, well, I'd like to hurry up and get through this so that we can get on to the next chapter in the life of the church. But I want to suggest to us this morning that there are some things that we will only learn in this liminal space, in this thin space, that we will not learn anywhere else. And it will require us to listen carefully, and There are moments when in our listening, we find it very difficult to hear. To be certain, if I had a chair, I would have heard the first sound and I would have sat down and would not have heard anything else. That's just an age and stage issue. But understand this, that just because you can't hear it does not mean that it's not there. And many of us go about our lives in denial that God is speaking, but it's because we just maybe have gotten to the point where we haven't heard the voice of God in our lives, maybe for a long time. And so this morning, at the risk of being oversimplistic, could I just suggest to you that in these days, I challenge you to have soft eyes to see the story of Scripture. And many times we talk about that we would hear the story of Scripture, and that's very important through the preaching of the Word and the teaching and the opportunity to be together for life groups and the opportunity to immerse ourselves in the Word. But first noticers have soft eyes to see the story of Scripture and to see the story of Scripture unfold. This psalm was written by a man named Asaph, and he was a prophet and a poet. And as he wrote these words, he was writing as if to say the story of Scripture is unfolding all around us. And for those who have soft eyes, those who have eyes that have not been hardened by the circumstances of life, but have soft eyes to see the story of Scripture, people with soft eyes have a lot of aha moments. These are moments where you're moving along and it's as though God breaks in and shows up in a place where you least expect it. And by the way, that's where God does His best work, in places where we least expect it. And first noticers have the ability to see the story of Scripture unfolding around them. It's not something that happens 24/7. It's something that happens as we're ready. And it happens as we take the moments of our life to step back and to really say, what does this mean and what is going on? And my prayer is that as a church in this great political divide, that the church will be first noticers and be willing to say, there is the story of Scripture unfolding. There is the kingdom of God coming. There is the place where God is at work. That is the moment. That is the nexus point where the events of culture collide with the story of Scripture, and the story of Scripture begins to inform our lives. It is really a call to listen and obey. Asaph says, let me tell you a parable. It's a story. It's a reminder that this parable is to illustrate for us the history of Israel's experiences. And if we had time, we would go through all of those. But I would encourage you to read the 78th Psalm later today or this week. And just as you walk through it, you will see time and time again God's story and the story of Scripture unfolding, the faithfulness of God. But in the midst of that Scripture, you see the unfaithfulness of God's people. Here's the good news. Regardless of how unfaithful we might be, God is always faithful. And there are times when we base our understanding on God's faithfulness on ourselves. But God is always faithful every single step of the way. Soft eyes to see the story of Scripture. And I guess what I'd also would say as I read this passage of Scripture is that God will give us soft eyes to see the work of the kingdom. We are told again and again that our citizenship is not in this world, that we belong to the kingdom of God, and the work of the kingdom is unfolding all around us. How many of you have ever had the opportunity perhaps to grow up in a particular area? For me, I grew up right here. Matter of fact, I spent lots of Sunday mornings and Sunday nights in about the third row over here. And my dad and mom sat all the way in the very back. And I was never outside of the watchful eye of my dad, who frequently would just clear his throat. And it was not because he had a tickle. It was not because he had an impending cold. It was a precautionary measure. But I grew up here, and just down the street, the Old Manor Elementary School that is now condos, I believe. I don't know what happened, but when I was a kid growing up, The field behind the elementary school had to be the size of York County. And I drove by the other day and it has shrunk. The field is the size of the table. Why is that? Because our memories of things in days gone by is inflated, and then we see reality. But to have soft eyes and to see the work of the kingdom is to see the ever-expanding nature of God's kingdom. It is always bigger than we imagine. And we are invited into that kingdom. We're invited into that responsibility. And to have soft eyes is to see the work of the kingdom of God all around us and to be able to say, there it is. There it is. There it is. There it is right there. My wife and I were driving down the road about 2 weeks ago, and we got a text from our son. We're at the age and stage where we have kids that when they text you at odd times, you think immediately, what? Something's wrong. And he texted, and it really was for my wife's benefit. He texted her. I was driving. And he said, I had a really strange day today, but if you knew our son, every day is a strange day for him. He sees all kinds of things happening. And he said, I was sitting in a park, and he said, I saw a guy coming toward me, and the guy was coming toward me, and he had no shirt on, and he was holding in his hands just a few items, and he had scrubs on. Our son was sitting there with a friend, and our son said to the young man coming toward him, hey, man, are you okay? And the young kid said, no, I'm not. He goes, what's wrong? And he said, do either of you have a shirt that I could wear? Brandon said, I looked down and he said, I realized that today of all days, I had clean underwear on. I had a T-shirt on. And so he said, I just took my shirt off and gave it to him. He said, literally gave him the shirt off my back. And he said, the young man was just overwhelmed. Brandon said, I probably should have done more. And he said, oh, by the way, Mom, the Good Samaritan story is true. The work of the kingdom is going on all around us. And when our eyes are hard, we don't see it. And sometimes as we age, we lose the sensitivity to see the kingdom of God unfolding. So my prayer is that you'll become a team of first noticers. As a matter of fact, when you gather in this place, you'd be able to quickly say, oh, there's the work of the kingdom. There's the work of the kingdom. And the work of the kingdom is really to teach them. In the passage of Scripture, it is an admonition to teach the children. It is an admonition to teach the next generation. It is to remind them that God is at work and that God has been faithful in the past and He is at work right now and He can be trusted with the future. Some of us are sitting in this room today and we are the byproducts of a generation before us that invested in us. So I want to challenge you to be a team of first noticers, to notice those people that may be struggling and to be willing to teach them. You say, well, what would we teach them? Well, we would teach them the works of God. This is what God has done in the past. And it's kind of story time. It's the time to tell the stories of God's faithfulness and God's mercy and how God has done some miraculous things. Oh, to be sure, this church has a storied past, and that is to be certain, but there are plenty of evidences in recent years to suggest that God has just tipped His hand as to what He wants to do in this place. So keep the stories alive of the works of God, but also be reminded that we are to teach the Word of God. We are to teach the life-giving Word of God and share with others and the next generation exactly what God has done and what God's Word has to say. Please don't do it in a judgmental way. Do it in a compelling way so that people will see the Word of God written on your life. and that the kingdom of God is alive and well. Let me just go to the last thought that I have this morning, because it really might be at the very heart of what this is all about. But I believe if we're going to be a team of first noticers, we'll have soft eyes to see the path of obedience. And to really be obedient, not just to what we think and not just to what we feel, but to what God's Word says to us. To be first noticers and listen and see the kingdom of God. And so as I was preparing to come, I was thinking this week about this very moment. And I want to say something to us this morning as a church that will help us in this transition. And if we're going to be on the path of obedience, I think it's going to be around the idea of understanding that they will put their trust in God. That is you. This church, I will walk away and I will say, they will put their trust in God. You have great leaders, and God's blessed your church with incredible leaders. And these are leaders who have put their trust in God. They're not trusting in my leadership. They're not trusting in their abilities, their natural abilities, but they've just come to a point where they have said, we're going to trust in God, and God's going to help us. And we just live in that confidence. And first noticers put their trust in God at every turn. They resist the temptation to say, God, listen, I think I've got this one. Let me run with it for a little while. If I get in trouble, I'll call you. No. God does not become a last resort. He becomes our first response. It is this sense that when we trust in Him with all of our heart and we don't lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, we acknowledge Him. The promise from Scripture is He will direct our paths. So the path of obedience tells us we will put our trust in God. It also tells us that they will remember God's deeds. I don't have time to stand here before you this morning, but growing up here and seeing the miraculous hand of God at work in this place, about a month and a half ago, I was meeting in this room with your board, and we were seated around a circle right here in the front. And I don't know what possessed me to do it, but I just took an exit, went down memory lane. Have you ever had that happen to you? Sometimes your family says, okay, memory lane is now closed. We don't need to hear any more of your stories. But when I remember God's deeds, Jeff, when I remember the activity of God, and I was sitting right here, and I just casually pointed over my shoulder and pointed over in this direction, and I said, it was in that place over there. It wasn't right where I'm pointing right now, but it was in that area, that somehow I came to this realization that God was at work in my life. And I remember God's deeds. And first noticers, when they see the trouble in our culture, in our world, in our communities, tend to go back and say, wait a minute, God has been faithful in the past. What would make this moment any different? Remember God's deeds. And then the real crux of this might even come around to the idea that they have decided to keep God's commands. It would be easy for us to say, well, you know, there's some other things. There's maybe a higher law. There's maybe a different way of doing this. There's some civic responsibilities and duties. But first noticers have just decided, hey, we're going to keep God's commands. It won't make sense to the world. It won't make sense to the culture. But we're going to keep God's commands. And we're going to do exactly what God wants us to do. Though that may be misunderstood, God has called us to be faithful. My prayer for you is that God will make you into a church of first noticers on this path of obedience. I read a story this week that has helped me to think about this moment. And if you allow me, I'll share it. There was a young man who was in his mid-20s, and he lost his job. And he was really beginning to worry because his savings had run out and his resources were limited, and he didn't have a family upon which he could depend. And so he felt this incredible sense of loneliness. And somewhere along the line, he said, maybe I ought to go see my pastor. I haven't been in church in years, but maybe I ought to go see him. And like my memory faded on the size of the manor playground, to what it is now in reality and what I imagined it to be, he had forgotten that it had been almost 15 years since he had seen his pastor. He was shocked when he walked into the office and saw this old man sitting there. And he squinted to look at him and then realized his pastor had aged. He began to count the months and the years, and it had been 15 years since he'd actually talked with his pastor. But he remembered his pastor being compassionate, and he poured out his heart to the pastor, and he said these words. He said very angrily, he said, "I've begged and begged God to say something to me. Help me, Pastor. Why doesn't God answer my prayer?" And the old pastor was sitting across the room and spoke so quietly, the young man was unable to hear what his pastor said. And the young man got up out of his seat and moved a little closer, and he said, "What did you say?" And this time his pastor spoke even more quietly. And so the young man picked up his chair and moved closer to where he was, and he said, I didn't hear you. Can you say it again?" And pretty soon, the young man was sitting almost forehead to forehead with his pastor. It was awkward. And his pastor leaned in, and the young man said, "I don't understand. I've begged God to speak, and he's just not saying anything. Where is God?" And his pastor said this, "Sometimes God whispers, and you will only hear him as you move closer to him." And today, if you hear his voice, the scripture says, "Do not harden your heart." And to be a first noticer is to have our lives so closely connected to him that we can hear, allow me to be sacrilegious, our Father coughing in the back of the church and know that cough is for us. I said to my dad, please don't ever do that again. Don't cough, Dad. And he said, "There's no reason for me to cough if you behave." To be a team of first noticers is to hear the whisper of God. And we will hear that as we are close to him on the path to obedience.